Beacon Baptist, I'm going to need your help, okay? So if you're a member here, then I need you to participate. If you're willing to participate, can you say amen? Oh, I hope so, all right? My wife and I play a little game. The game is called Name That Pastor. As we travel all across the country and all across the world, we really just have a lot of pastors we meet, and there's a lot of neat things, you know, just kind of things about them, their idiosyncrasies or whatever. So here's what I want you to do. Now, for guests, you ain't got to worry about nothing because you might not know who the pastoral staff is. But I am going to act like someone on pastoral staff, and as soon as y'all know, I want you to yell it out, all right? Y'all can do that? Say amen if you can do it. Amen. All right. So, but basically, here's what I'll do. I'll act like I'm getting ready to come make an announcement, right? And then I'm gonna act like the person, as soon as you know who it is, you go ahead, all right? Amen, glory to God. Well, I tell you what, folks, who said it? You got it, and I was just walking. You have a happy walk, Eric. Wow. Did anybody else know that? I was expecting, you know, I was getting ready to tell a joke. And then that would have been how you would have known. Okay. Okay, here we go. What's your other one? What's one you not only will, but glory? Something that you have a lot of things to go on. Okay, all right. See if you can get this one, all right? You ready for this? Hey, as we begin the service, I just want to welcome you here. And I want to say a quick word about the offering here. And as I do, did y'all say it? Who is it? I can't eat this thing. As you were doing that illustration, oh, that's disgusting. Anyway, as you were doing that illustration, I'm like, how's that man eating that whole apple? Right there. Now, I'm not going to do Pastor Abe, I'm not doing you. I'm not doing anybody. Now, you say, Adrian, why on earth are you like, I'm not making fun. It's just in a way, just, you know, there's actually, we think to ourselves that people are going to remember the complexities about ourselves. But really, sometimes it's some of the silliest things that people even just remember us for. Things that we didn't necessarily know that we were kind of sending out those vibes, but in a way, we did. You know, I can tell you about a guy, and this is the whole point of it. I'll tell you about a guy that my family stayed with, our family named Rick Tremonti. I remember this guy. He was Italian, and I tell you, the man could throw it down when it came to cooking. He made the best chicken parmesan I ever put in my mouth. I mean, he would pound out the chicken. I ate that stuff, and it changed my life, my friend. It was amazing what that man made. But not only that, Mr. Tremonti was the absolute optimist. I mean, a bad situation came, he could tell you the bright side. I'm spitting apple, aren't I? Forgive me. But he could tell you the bright side of anything. We were riding with him to church one day. And as we were riding to church, with my family, I didn't have a meeting that day, and so we're in the car. And as we're driving, you know, this car pulls out in front of us and starts going directly at us and, like, getting ready to go head on. I mean, his wife, everybody, I mean, I'm nervous and everything. And the guy, we swerve out of the way. That guy swerves out, and we really just narrowly missed a head-on collision. Now his wife is going, you know, screaming, what's wrong with that guy? What's wrong with that guy? You know, how crazy this was. And he looked at everybody in the car and said, y'all stop. That turn up there is a hard turn to make. And that man probably was just having a rough day. And the man could find happiness. I mean, he'd be looking at the devil and say, I know he's a bad guy, but I know he's pretty persistent though. You know, like he can find something good about anything. You know, here's what I'm going to do tonight. You will, and I say this, and I'm not being facetious. I said, you will probably disagree with my introduction, and I understand that. Let me tell you the skeleton of the message, and then you're going to disagree with my introduction, but I want you to follow me. After we look at the passage, I then want you to disagree with the introduction again, okay? Now, we're going to go through, and I'm going to make an introduction of some introductory thoughts. We're going to go through the passage. At the end of the passage, and we get done through the passage, then I am going to then give you a compound illustration. Remember that from yesterday? If you're here, give you a compound illustration to show you the application of what we just said, okay? Clear as mud. I know, but stay with me, okay? Here's the introduction. I think, just like every culture, we do not like pain. We do not like grief. And more so than any culture, we find a way to find the quickest end to our grief. One of the ways we do is always having to find a silver lining in every negative situation. If there is something going awry, if you lost a child, well, you have to find a silver lining of somehow of saying that, well, God used it. Maybe somebody will get saved because that child has been lost. Or we have to find a silver lining to some way say that whatever trial has happened and in some way that will counteract the grief, because in some way, some shape, there has to be an obvious silver lining in every single situation. We hail those, which is no problem, those who are absolute just optimists in every situation. But because of that, I believe it does three things. The first thing I believe it does is it creates a culture that if there's no obvious silver lining in your negative situation, then something must be wrong with you. It also then makes us that many times we create a culture of faking happiness, plastic smiles, when pain is deep inside and is unresolved. It also, and this is important, demeans the fact that God's providential hand is not enough to be the silver lining in a situation. You see, sometimes we gotta say, bad situation happened, I lost my job, because God's gonna give me a better what? Well, I get it, fine, be optimistic. But it could be that there's a reason that you'll never know this side of heaven. And the silver lining is God's in control. And if I am always trying to find this obvious silver lining, I believe the path of grief is used to get us down the path of trust. And if we prematurely begin to find the silver lining, we are leaving the classroom before the class is even over. We need to learn the biblical language of pain. The biblical language of pain is lament. When you look in Scripture, one third of the Psalms are lament Psalms. This is how God has intended us to get from this pole over here of grief to this season over here. This is a process of lamenting. That sometimes we want to grab the remote, hit fast forward, and move on when it's God's vehicle to get us to a proper and healthy destination of trust. Like I said, I'm not saying we should agree. But let's look in Psalm real quick. Book of Psalm. Psalm 13. As you're turning there, let me tell you in just a moment the title. I'll give you the title and the reason for the title right after I read this passage. Psalm 13, beginning here in verse number 1. This is understand it's a Christian discipline, but please stay with me as we go through the passage because I want you to see the application that we're going to come to at the end. If you don't mind, if you could, because we as an audience, please stand to our feet as we read the Word of God together for this opening time. The psalmist says, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God, lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Thank you so much. You can have a seat. As you're having the seat, I want to give you the reason why I titled the message I did. I told the young people earlier that I am what people would call a crier. I cry at movies. I cry at shows. My wife is the one consoling me. In fact, I told the teenagers today, I haven't made it through one Undercover Boss episode yet without crying. I cry all the time. It is what it is. You know the difference between crying? We have another term that we use, though, as well. Ever heard the term ugly crying? Ugly cry? Snot dripping, blah, you know. I don't wear makeup, obviously, but I'm just saying, like, eyelashes, like, stuck, and I'm like, did that even really happen, you know? Like, ugly crying. Here's what I want to title the message. Ugly praying. Not just, oh, God, please bless my bad situation. No, ugly praying. Let's pray as we begin. Father in heaven, Lord, we look to your word. We're asking for you to, Lord, give us wisdom and guidance as we look to your scriptures. Lord, we do thank you, Lord, that we can be able to gather together in this setting. We thank you, Lord, for the music we've heard, Lord, preparing our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for the courage our hearts challenge us, already exhorting us. Lord, I do pray, Lord, that your word would be that which would be hailed and understood. And I do pray that there's be understanding, illuminate. Lord, I pray for the reality of a new discipline to which I believe you ask of us. And I pray, Lord, that we would be able to go from here and, Lord, have a more deeper and genuine walk with you because of not just prayers that are just canned, not just prayers that are just said. But God, I pray, Lord, that we would get down into lamenting. Lord, that you will, that will be the destination, that we be, I mean, that will be the place where we get in the vehicle to get to the destination of trust. God, I pray that you would use your word, empty me once again of myself, and fill me with thy spirit to say that which you'd have me to say during these moments together. In Christ's name, we certainly pray it all. Amen. Now, in verses 1 and 2, as I said, we're going to march right here to the verse. This is what I call, number 1, the complaining stage. Forgive the word, but follow me just for a moment. He's telling the Lord, how long will thou forget me? He's asking the Lord, how long will thou hide thy face from me? Listen to, when we're coming to God with this ugly praying, this is not the time to be able to get all the fancy words together. This is not the time to impress your friends with all the language of what you're using to come to the Holy One. This is a person that's coming to God with raw questions. But understand something about ugly praying. This thing is not a matter where we come to God with this justification of our sin. It's not coming to God and blaming and shifting all the focus. No, you got to check pride in at the door before we get to ugly praying. You got to check arrogance at the door before we start to ugly praying. We got to get to the point of saying, God, I need you more than anything. It seems heaven's deaf. And as I'm coming to you, he's asking, he's saying, I'm not just bringing my pride, I'm bringing my pain to you. He comes and he asks these bold questions. Now, I am using Psalm 13 as an example. There are many types of laments in the Bible. The beginning of them is usually start off with words like this: arise, O Lord. Words like grant us, O help. Remember your covenant. Let justice be done. Vindicate me. Lord, don't remember my sins. Restore me. Lord, please teach me. Some are even usually start off by saying to God, don't be silent. These are things that you think in your heart are accusatory toward God, but God is not against us having to wrestle inside with these questions and grievances we bring to him. But understand this. The complaining stage is not the destination. It is just the vehicle that gets us on the path to trust. I keep reading. So number 1, you see the complaining stage. Continue in verse number 3. It says, consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemies say I prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. The second part is the asking stage, where he lays out his request. You see, look, having silence about your pain does not mean that your pain has gone away. You see, there still has to be a time when you're coming to God and asking for whatever it is you're asking about. Look, I was picking on, obviously, Eric and Pastor Osley earlier, and as I was picking on them, I know that you in this building do not know my father-in-law, but I assure you kind of do, because a white version of my father-in-law is Dwight Osley, right over there. You probably didn't know that. One thing I remember when I asked him to marry his daughter, Tabitha, that I came to him, and, intimidating figure, you know, he has a face where, what are you thinking? I'm not sure. Exactly. And as I was sitting there, we had all of our big discussions we ever had are done in his truck. Because you got to keep up with the man because the man's always moving. And so the only time to keep up with the man is jump in the truck with him. And so I remember I went over there with the intention of asking for his daughter's hand. I literally came, and I do have this problem. I have a problem with it's called over-explaining, you know, or over-talking a situation. And so I literally came to him with three biblical reasons why I believe Tabitha was to be my wife. I had Bible verses. I really did. I mean, I'm really that nerdy. It's really bad. I came to him with all this information. I had illustrations to prove that in my life, what the position I was in right now, I was able to be able to take care of his daughter. I mean, I had it laid out. I get in that car, and I begin on this process of describing to this man. And I begin, I really believe Pastor Lucas, he's a pastor. Pastor Lucas, and he's going through, and I'm starting. As I'm getting through and talking about the emotions I feel for his daughter, he says, Adrian, you can save that for the ladies if you like, but if you have a question to ask me, just go ahead and ask me. I said, well, can I marry your daughter? You know, like, you know what he wanted? Get to the point. Okay, so what he's saying in this passage with lamenting is as you're going through, you're pouring your heart. What do you want from God? What do you want him to do? What do you want him to change? And see, he breaks it down. He says, consider and hear me. So he's saying, God, you got to listen to me. I don't feel you're listening to me. He says, lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. He's a sense, because lighten, okay, see the idea of lightening your eyes. It's the same verse, the word that is used when Jonathan was out in the field and all the people are starving. He took that honeycomb and he ate that honeycomb. And it's kind of like you're starving, you eat a little food and you go, whoa, I feel a lot better. See, that's what he's saying. Lord, I need you to bring that life back. Lord, I'm walking in almost like a state that I'm not even alive. I'm just kind of like a dead man walking. God, you got to give me that life again, because if you don't give it to me, I'm most likely even going to die. He continues in laying it out, and he continues, says, lest mine enemies say I prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. So then he continues and says, Lord, I got people out there who are, I represent your name. I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. And as I'm a child of God, I want to be a right representation of who you are. And those people that already got their bets that this whole Christian gig, this whole living for God gig is a bunch of nonsense. It's just some like cult. And he says, God, I want to live a life in front of them that they know that they ain't taking no best, that they know that the God I know I trust in, that he is all that I say he is. He says, God, here's my request. So we start with the complaining stage. Then you go to the asking stage. In every lament psalm, look for a coordinating conjunction or a verse that is the transition verse. The transition in this entire psalm happens when he says, but I have trusted. So the transit, so he's laid out his request, he's gone through, said what's in upon his heart, but then what he says is he says, I've trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. So here's what he says. He first reminds himself of the fact of his salvation. He reminds that, you know what? Look at all that's happened in my life. I'm seeing all the pain that's taking place, but I can remember your mercy. Hey, listen, I understand that in this world, man, things are going to turn upside down, but if you're a child of God inside of here, there's still a hope that lies within you that if God did never would have one more thing in your life that you consider to be positive, if you are a child of God, the fact of heaven is all that we need. And as it's like he's reminding himself. So here's what he's doing, okay? So here's how I'm going to illustrate it. He's having himself what's called soul talk. This is going to be sound a little weird, but just follow me for a second, right? So I'm going to let this chair represent Adrian. Remember, I was telling you about last time about your soul. You have a soul. The soul is the you, like the you that makes pizza your favorite while you like pepperoni instead of salt, whatever, right? It's the you that's inside of you, the you. So do you know what, see what he's doing here in this case as he's lamenting to God? This is his soul is lamenting to God. God, I need you. God, where are you? God, he's laying out the complaining, the asking. Now it transitions to this, where in some way he's now in essence instructing his soul. So it's almost like this, that his soul is over here. Adrian, you've already made it clear how you feel. But Adrian, you know what the word of God says. You know good and well right there. Your heart shall rejoice in thy salvation because he hath dealt bountifully. You know God's been good to you, Adrian. You see, I got to talk to my soul. Do you know what David did? He had to talk to his own soul. Well, so why are that cast down? Why is that going on in your life? Listen, I got to let the word of God speak louder than my circumstances. This is when the word of God becomes more than just a happy little book that we bring to us on Sunday. And then we got to get to the grip to understand, is this everything or not? Do we believe this or not? Look, if this is just a game, if this is just something we just do, this is something to appease the conscience, when life slaps you upside the head, you better know where your faith lies. And he has then, as this lamenting psalm happens, the destination is that I got to dive in the word. And even though my thoughts and my soul may be screaming something different, I understand that the word of God got a louder voice than my soul ever got. And I lament to God. And I'm reminded at the end of my prayer, God, this is me doing everything I can, trusting you. You are the silver lining. You are all I need. That's the passage, okay? That's the passage, all right? So remember I told you about a compound illustration, right? All right. This is important because there's a principle taught in the New Testament. And the principle you may have been familiar with is weep with them that weep. Now hear me, follow this. There's something that's been lost, I feel, is church. We used to pray together. Brother with brother. Sister with sister. One-on-one. Didn't have to have, I'm struggling with a really horrible sin. Pray. No. It used to be a day. Hey, brother, can we just meet? Can we just pray? And then somebody can be a stronger brother in that case and be there and where their soul can literally, truly lament. Not let their soul lament. Well, let me tell you, brother, you ought not be feeling like that. Hey, let me tell you, brother, you're on a slippery slope. No. Just pray. Just lament. Ugly pray to our God. Now, that's the thought illustration. Most of y'all don't know this, but my wife has fourth stage endometriosis, right? So when we were married, the OB said, you know, look, adoption's in your future, guys. That's just the reality of it. We knew that was going to be a slim chance because we live in a fifth-wheel trailer for pretty much your whole life. It's kind of hard to convince people that you can be able to provide a stable living. And so we understood the reality that, you know, kids will probably might not be in our future. I remember we prayed and prayed, and obviously many of you know that obviously we have two kids. We have two kids here, two kids in heaven. And during the time, you know, it's because if you know the ins and outs of any emotion, some of you don't, but just it's just a difficult process to be able to have children. That's the long and short of it. And I remember you just had Jasmine. Not just, but Jasmine was really young. And we were staying at a person, we were going over to dinner to somebody's house, and Jasmine, I can't remember how old exactly she was, and this lady had a lot of kids, right? And they were running all around the house and everything. And as they're running around the house, and Jasmine was sitting, and she was behaving herself, and one of the ladies was kind of complimenting her, and, you know, at the same time taking a side swipe, she looked at us and says, wow, you only have one, you know, like, it's easy to take care of that one. And she told this statement to my wife. I tell you what, the one day when you become a real mom and have more than one, then you'll know what it's like. She did not mean it hatefully. She said it as a joke. But obviously you know how much hurt that caused to my wife. Now, see, here's the point. So that's the illustration, okay? That's just, whoop, this is the illustration. So let's come down to the other part of the illustration. Do you think that she's just an evil woman? I don't. I don't think that actually she's even in her life thought about it again. I don't think she's ever asked God, please forgive me for what I said to Tabitha. I don't think that's ever happened. You say, then some people say, why are people so dumb? Why are people so not understanding to what's going on with other people's situations? And people are so insensitive. Look at what they post. Look at what they say. Look at what, okay. I feel you. Do you know why sometimes, here's how I see it now. Do you know what I saw with that woman? She ain't never wept with somebody who's had infertility issues. She's never lamented the pain of that life. You see, church, I think we can make the cruelest of statements and not even know we're doing it. And the reason why is because we have not chosen to enter into the path of lament to those who are in pain. Because we want them to hurry up, get through it, be happy, don't do this. No, we want them so fast that we never weep with those who weep. There's people inside this room who have children who have walked away from the Lord. You gave everything. You have crucified yourself. What did I do wrong? And many times, there will be some people who have never wept with somebody who's been in that situation to make stupid statements about how they live their life. I have a friend who has a special needs child. I went to the hospital and prayed over his son that God would spare his life. As we were there, me and Dave have prayed for years. I pray for his son every day of my life. As I've wept with Dave, I can promise you, if I see a person who has a special needs child, you know what, I don't care if that kid comes up and spits on me. It's all right, buddy. Because I've wept with somebody that experienced the pain. There are some sins that make you go, ugh. Have you ever wept with somebody who's in the middle of that pain? Who got a phone call from their kid? Mom and Dad, I think I should change my gender. And before you start running your mouth and spitting off your statistics, have you ever entered into that pain and that lament and weep with them? You say, Adrian, what on earth does this have to do with what you preached last night? Some people say, well, what do I do? What do I do? You talked about, you know, all this hard stuff, racial tension, all these things in our world. I'm not telling you to change one position. I am not telling you, man, that's God's business. That's you and the Holy Spirit. Y'all go talk in your closet. But I am saying this. It might change your tune if you sit around and weep with somebody. Weep with somebody. Before you start spitting out the facts, weep with somebody. Church, about time we start ugly praying and we start ugly praying with each other. Oh, I know that this is a Christian discipline
that I am speaking on. But as I see this play out here in Scripture as I go forward, I want to understand inside the house the application for all is because, look, when we come to God and we want to dress ourselves up, look, God already knows us inside and outside, okay? And since he knows us inside and outside, if you are here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, I ain't trying to sell you nothing. I ain't trying to get you on some bandwagon of the Baptist church bandwagon. I ain't trying to do nothing like that. I want to let you know that you can be truly genuine. You can be truly open. And you can be truly honest with God. And the awesome thing is, there is nothing you can do to make God love you less. And there's nothing you can do to make him love you more. He has already maxed out the love category for all of us inside the house. He loves you at your best. He loves you at your worst. And no matter what you got going on, rolling inside of your mind right now, I'm telling you, he has an open arm. I'm not trying to sell you something, but I do want to tell you about somebody. That every sin you've ever committed in your life that maybe you feel bad or don't feel bad about, but regardless, every sin you ever done was taken care of when Jesus Christ died on that cross. And he says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Tonight, he wants your faith that you believe on him to save you from your sin. Christian, during this invitation time, and Dan, whoever y'all can come on up. If I had a sign, I don't have one, but if I had a sign, could you imagine like a little square box, okay? And imagine like a little hanger thing that's on it, right? So I'm holding it and there's a sign right here, okay? Now, I like for an invitation to be very specific. I don't want it to be fuzzy. I want there to be understood. At the end of the service, for those who are guests, we just have a time where we reflect. We meditate on what God has then talked to us about through his word. During that invitation, we invite those that want to pray there. We just have some music going and stuff. And we invite those that might not be sure of heaven that, man, we'd love to talk to you about what it means to be saved from your sin. Be out here at the front. But if I had a sign for this invitation, here's what I would say. Put it right there. Ugly praying only tonight. Ugly. God, I did everything with that kid. Lord, me? I have done so much for you. And you're going to drop this on me? Ugly praying. My marriage? I thought at year 30 we just kind of skated on through. Ugly praying. And I invite this too. Maybe you have somebody, dear friend in this church, maybe you need a sister. Can you pray with me? Oh, because you're just so broken. Stop it. Can you come weep with me? Can you help me through that? I'm gonna tell God what's there. And as I tell God what's on my heart and that complaining stage, I'm then gonna ask him what I need. After I ask what I need, I'm going to reaffirm that I know he's in control and God help me. Just lament. It's an ugly pray tonight. We bow our heads and close our eyes all here together. Main floor, balcony. Those that are watching. Or you might need to pause it where you're watching and maybe you and your wife need to bow down where you are. Maybe whoever you're watching with, it might need to get to the point of just ugly praying right there at your house. Oh, but let me just say this, with our heads bowed and eyes closed in the house, this ain't nothing weird. Those that are guests, this is just something that we just do at the end. And listen, this is called the invitation. At this invitation, just a moment we all stand.
I'm going to invite those. They some already praying. That's great. Well, I'm going to invite as we stand. So some people are going to come and pray. That's good. That's cool. That's fine. But maybe you're here. You're not sure you're on your way to heaven, and you're not sure that you're saved from your sin. I invite you. We'll have somebody here at the front be happy to take a Bible and show you what it means more about what it means saved from your sin. Christian, the sign's out. Ugly praying aloud. Ugly praying only. Only coming to God and pouring your heart. If you want somebody to pray with you when you come to the front, just hope your hand, put your hand in the air, and we'll get somebody with you. We'll just get somebody to come alongside that maybe you don't know them well, but that's fine. It's a brother and sister in Christ who can wrap your arms around and weep with you. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. There are some that are praying. Let's stand to our feet all across the building, heads bowed and eyes closed. And with our heads bowed and eyes closed, if God so spoke to your heart, listen to me, at this altar, ugly praying only, you're invited at this time. Brother, will you sing? Y'all go ahead and sing as we have this time. Let's just pray. Praise the Lord. Pray together. Praise the Lord. Pray together. Ugly spirit. Oh, as a sweet spirit, when God's people just pray with just genuine honesty in their heart. If you need somebody to pray with you, just raise your hand. If you need somebody to pray with you, just raise your hand. Yes, praise the Lord. Yes, praise the Lord.
Right here with us, filling us with your love. And for these blessings, we lift our hearts in
Oh, back in the Old Testament, remember, if you remember very well, that's around Jericho, there were them walls that went all around Jericho, and God told them that if they wanted them walls to come down, that they were going to march around it one time every day on the seventh day, seven times. Then they were instructed to do this. On that seventh day, they were to scream and shout first, and then those walls would come down. Those people on that final time had to scream at walls that had not fallen down. They had to go around the city by faith that God was going to give them the victory. And so tonight, by your lament, silence takes no faith. Lamenting takes faith. And as you are lamenting on the path to trusting, oh, I'm telling you, I tell you, you gotta shout first, even though you don't see the victory. You're gonna have to shout first, give God glory first, before you see the light at the end of the tunnel. What I'm saying is, because God is all the silver lining we need. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace. Lord, as we, Lord, just so many hearts being poured to you. Lord, I don't think that these are just, Lord, just mechanical prayers that are being offered to you today. These aren't just things that we're just going through the motions. Lord, this is us being raw. Lord, this is just being real. Lord, this is us understanding that, Lord, life is complicated. Sometimes just get downright nasty and ugly because of this sinful world. But Lord, as we come to you, Lord, to take that complicated and more simplify and get us on that right path. God, I pray that you would help us begin getting on the path, Lord, of trusting you by properly lamenting. Oh, I thank you
for so many things you've done. Thank you for brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, I pray that you would help us as Beacon Baptist to rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep. Oh, in Christ's name, we certainly do pray it all. Amen.